Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016, and this...
Oh my God, Mela Vegas was so boring. I want Party Vegas. Party Vegas!
Yeah.
Cheers to
cheers.
Cheers. Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 574.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight, a rare midweek show, not being recorded midweek. That's okay. It's a bonus show. It's a two-week show. Two-show week.
Got him.
We're doing that in a second. Oh, shit.
This is going well.
I think so. Hey, so how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. We've got a bunch of emails we're going to get caught up on. And we're going to take a bunch of phone calls. We can do this in one of two ways. We can either do all the emails at once, or we can, and then do all the phone calls at once, or we can mix them up and go back and forth. Any
thoughts? It's up to you.
No, I'm not good at decisions. That's why I was kind of putting it on you.
You have the shit in your hands, so.
Excuse me?
The emails that you printed out.
Are you saying our listener questions are shit?
No.
You don't know. You haven't seen them yet. They're not. They're very good questions. Otherwise, I wouldn't have selected them.
Right.
Okay. We'll do all the emails.
Sometimes you like to stand around the house with shit in your hand waiting to throw at it.
Like a monkey?
Like the monkey poker dome.
Getting in touch with my roots. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll block them up. We'll do all the emails first.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a box full of letters. Thinking my life. Send your note and desires, means of contact, P.O. Box 8941, baby. Write you a letter tomorrow. Tonight, I can't hold a pen.
All right. Listener emails. I love them. We have a bunch.
We're catching up on our correspondence.
I know. I realize I have some emails I need to get caught up on, too, because I haven't responded to anybody in, like, months.
Oops.
There's not that many, though, so it shouldn't take that long when I eventually get around to it. Oh, I'm horrible. Okay, the first question comes in from Bill. Bill is wondering, do either of you alter your gambling style as the trip progresses? For example, will you play conservatively in video poker at the beginning and then increase denomination as you get closer to the end of your trip? If you have a significant amount of your bankroll remaining, or will the opposite happen? If you blow out your bankroll early, does it resort to nickel play?
I haven't played nickels in a while.
There's not as many, well, video poker there is, I was going to say, but slot machines, it's all pennies now. But
but pennies, you can either do...
Yeah, you can...
Max bet, or you can do a variety of things.
So, depending on the time of your trip, do you... play heavier in the beginning, heavier at the end, same throughout. Depends on how you're doing.
It depends on how I'm doing. If I'm losing the whole time, I'll get more conservative as the trip goes on. But if I've won a little bit, then I'll... And it's not as much about the amount. It's about if I'll continue to play or not. I'm pretty happy at the quarter level of video poker. Sometimes I'll go down to dime if I just need to waste time or something.
Yeah.
But mostly it's quarters.
I do alter my play, but I'm inconsistent with the whens and hows. So I usually will, mainly video poker again. Usually I'll start out playing 50 cent video poker. Mm-hmm. That's been my thing lately. And then at some point I'll start mixing in dollar.
Yep.
And then at the end of the trip, it depends how I've been doing. The thing is, depending on how I'm doing, it doesn't necessarily... One of two things can happen. If I'm doing badly, sometimes I will just like cut my losses and start, okay, I'll try to slow it down a little bit here. That doesn't happen all that often, to be quite honest.
No, it doesn't.
Or I'm like, fuck it, I'm almost out of money. I might as well blow through the rest, which is kind of what happened this trip. And then I hit the big jackpot. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, so must work. There's your system. Now, if I'm having a winning trip early on, then I almost feel like I get a little more conservative when I've won early. I love that I'm playing in the house money.
Yeah. But you want to take it home.
I want to either take it home or at least make it last as long as possible. So, oddly enough, I feel like I play a little more conservatively after I've won. Yeah. So, that would be my... It's weird. The whole mental thing of gambling is so strange.
It is.
Like, the way that it can affect your mood and...
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, so sometimes I do. Sometimes I have the urge to just, like, chase it, which I know you're never supposed to do, but we all do it. And then other times I'm like, no, I'm done. I've had enough of this. I'm tired of losing money.
Yep. I hit that faster than you do, though.
Oh, much faster. Yeah. I have a greater tolerance than you do for losing. That's because I've been a loser for much longer than you have. All right. Thank you for the question, Bill. Matt from Detroit writes, I think I have the next big idea for a themed Vegas resort. It is a perfect marriage between the fun of older casino themes and maintaining the ability of the casino design to follow the more current trends of sleek, high-end, timeless architecture like Wynn, Aria, Cosmo, etc. The question is, how do I pass along that idea to someone that matters and get paid for it if they use the idea? Thanks for your question, Matt. Moving on. Yeah, good luck. That's not going to happen. Everybody thinks they have an idea in Las Vegas for the next big thing. You're not going to get paid for it. If you work for one of the companies and you're charged with that, great. So my
advice would be get into a business where they're building casinos.
So enroll in the casino management school at UNLV.
Yep.
Go through the entire program. Mm-hmm. I'd say get your master's at the very least. And then... get a job, an entry-level job at a casino. Work your way up through the ranks until you become an executive, and then you'll get paid for your idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just, what is that? Three easy steps. Degree, job, progression. Yeah. I'm not trying to be glib, but people have a lot of ideas, and you're not going to get... We've talked about some of these, you know, a lot of... I was thinking about the... dude who used to email us all the time who had the idea for the Mayan themed resort because I came across the artwork from that. Apparently that there hasn't been any update on that in a long time. Shock. Again, the guy had in his mind a fantastic idea similar to this, a themed kind of thing that fit in somewhat with where Las Vegas is, and trying to make that happen if you're not in the business. And he is kind of in the business. I think he had some design background, but yeah, unlikely. So sorry to piss on your picnic, but
either get in the business or find a way to fund it yourself.
Yeah. Even if you give that, if you were to just call, if you were to somehow get that to the people that matter right now,
they'd still take it. They would take it.
They wouldn't. They still wouldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
They have their process for developing ideas and stuff, but you could give them a really good idea, and odds are
they wouldn't do anything.
No,
if it's a really good idea, they'd probably just take it and run.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. You're more skeptical about the idea of getting off the ground. I'm more more skeptical about someone being paid for it.
Well, both. I don't see either happening.
Yeah.
So, all right, Greg and Michelle from Buffalo.
Yay.
Michelle asks, is there a hotel you stayed at that you would never stay at again? And then Greg adds two variations on this. Are there hotels that you used to like that you would no longer consider staying at? And are there hotels you previously disliked for whatever reason but tried again and changed your mind? Good question. Okay, so is there a hotel you've stayed at that you would never stay at again?
I wouldn't say never, but I'm not keen on staying at Rio.
Yeah.
Because it's just so run down and inconvenient now.
I was thinking, we used to stay at Flamingo a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, it's not on the list.
Nope.
Until they renovate.
Yeah.
Which supposedly they might be doing soon. But So yeah, that's probably the perfect example just because of the frequency we stayed there. But yeah, we stayed at Rio a couple times, but that was more just let's try it and it was mm-hmm. free. And
yeah,
I don't see going back there, but for mainly because I don't really like staying off strip. Mm-hmm. I can't see any reason why we would stay there.
Yeah.
Even if they did a really great remodel,
mm-hmm.
maybe we'd go there for a night or something, yeah. but,
Oh, Plaza.
You wouldn't stay at Plaza again?
No.
I mean, we didn't really stay there. We checked in.
The noise was unacceptable, and we had another room at the El Cortez, and we left.
Yeah. And I don't know how... That's obviously not going to be every room at Plaza, but
mm-hmm.
I wasn't all that impressed with the room either.
I wasn't, no.
It's like it was fairly new at that point, and it already looked kind of worn.
Yeah.
I don't know. Furniture didn't fit together because it was mm-hmm. inherited from or purchased from Fontainebleau.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't write that one off completely, but
it would have to be pretty damn compelling to go back.
Okay. So I would be staying there alone is what you're saying. I hear you. All right. And then is there anything that we disliked that we tried again and changed our mind? Not really.
Caesars. Remember we had a really shitty check-in experience.
Good point. We did. We had a bad experience there, but then we got a really good room offer and ended mm-hmm. up staying there again.
Yep. And had a very nice check-in experience and a very nice room.
I forgot about that. I'm glad you remembered that. So yeah, there we go. And Caesars has turned things around mm-hmm. customer service-wise. So fine example. Good question. I had to think about that one. I would have forgotten that Caesars thing.
Oh, no.
You'll never forget. I remember now. I remember the bad experience and the
room has no view.
It has no view. Snobby desk attendant.
Yeah.
In the diamond check-in, even, you know? You never know. All right. Strickland writes, heading back to Vegas in November. I'm meeting friends and staying at Mandalay Bay Friday through Sunday, but I'm coming in Wednesday. I've stayed just about everywhere except downtown, so after 19 years of trips to Vegas, your show has convinced me to break my Fremont Street cherry. So Wednesday and Thursday night solo trip in November, where should I stay downtown? Well, a lot of times we will recommend Golden Nugget for first-time stays downtown just because it's the closest thing to a strip experience. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to say for sure because of, like, different people have such different viewpoints on hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends where you're used to staying on the strip or what you like on the strip. You're not going to get a Wynn experience downtown.
No.
But, you know, if you're used to staying like at Bally's or somewhere, then there's any number of places that are not mm-hmm. that far off. You could stay at Downtown Grand, which is really great.
Yep.
The D is not that far off from a Bally's experience, I mm-hmm. would say. We like the suites at Golden Gate.
Yep.
Any of those, you're going to do okay. So those would be my recommendations mm-hmm. for a first-time stay.
What about El Cortez?
No,
for a first time stay.
No, I mean, I like the Cabana Suites. I wouldn't stay in the tower for a first time. Cabana Suites, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say for a first time, you want to be right
in the middle of
the action.
Yeah.
Prepare for a loud room unless, you know, you're able to get something not facing the Fremont Street canopy.
Or the stage.
Right.
One of the stages.
So you might want to ask for that if you're planning on being out late, you don't care then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that question. Hope you have a good time downtown. Odds are that by now, although he sent this a couple weeks ago, I was going to say odds are by now he's probably already booked a room, but who mm-hmm. knows. All right. Have a good time. Let us know where you end up staying.
Yeah.
Listener Bob, good
Ooh,
friend
I
of the show.
What about the Cal? Have they redone their rooms yet?
I guess they've redone some of them. I would be curious to check that out. Now, if we book there, I would probably be tempted to double book.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, in case. If we had a free room.
Yeah.
I think the rooms there are fairly small.
Ah.
Which is fine, but I like, you know.
You like space.
I like spaciousness. So I'd want to take a look at them, I think, before I actually went ahead and stayed there.
Yeah.
Which downtown, if you get room offers easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a free room offer for Fremont and just checked out the room, and it was a pretty nice basic room.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing special, basic, fairly small, but, you know, typical, no frills, but serviceable.
Yep.
I would probably stay there if it was free and all the other options were super expensive or something, and it's not a bad place, but, again, it didn't really, like, inspire me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I got to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Huh. Depends what you're looking from, you know, depends what you're looking for from a hotel room. There's the whole mentality of it's just a place to sleep. How long do you spend in your room? Mm-hmm. I get that. That's not my mentality. I like
having a decent room.
Yeah, when I even if I'm not spending a lot of time there other than sleeping, when I do go back to the room, I like to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to be in a place that makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
I guess that's probably the best way of putting it. So I don't want to go back to my room and be like,
I feel claustrophobic in here. Yeah, or this is dirty.
Not even that. Not even dirty, but just... I like feeling comfortable, and mm-hmm. for me, comfortable is a nice room.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I get that that's not everybody's take on a hotel room, but that's why I would rather stay somewhere a little bit nicer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listener Bob has some good questions for us, as he always does. You're transported to the 1960s for two nights in Las Vegas. Where do you stay and what shows do you see?
Rat Pack at the Sands.
Yeah, gotta be Rat Pack or members of.
Yep.
And so as far as stay, would you stay at the Sands? I think I might want to stay at Caesars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Trying to think if there's anywhere else that I would want to stay. That would probably be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but definitely some sort of Rat Pack. Either the Rat Pack or any of, or Frank or mm-hmm. Dean or Sammy. That's about it. Joey Bishop. He was kind of, you know.
Yeah.
You're appointed to the Governor's Commission on Making Vegas Slightly Less Annoying. I'd like to be in charge of that, actually, if I could.
Yes.
And given the authority to change one thing each, hotel Ooh. Casino policies, local taxes and laws, for example, outlawing three across moseying.
Yes.
Putting up or tearing down a property. What's it going to be? One thing to make Vegas slightly annoying. It's going to differ depending on the day for me.
Yeah, me too.
At this moment, I'm going to go with any sort of add-on fees.
Yeah.
Resort fees, parking fees, any other fee that they decide to come up with. We'll even include Ticketmaster fees in that.
Mm-hmm.
Include everything in one in one price rather than the bullshit fees. We've talked about it enough times. We know why they do it, but the parking fee thing, I don't know. That might be a way. The resort fee thing is coming under fire a little bit. I think the parking fee thing might be a way for them to make some money without having to pay anybody else. There's no third parties involved. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of, they don't have to, I don't think it's necessarily tax. I don't know. I'd be curious about the taxation on the parking fees.
Hmm.
That might be a big reason for it too. Anyway, what about you? Moseyers, laws,
God, I don't know.
Policies? Is there anything that you would, how can you make Las Vegas better?
I agree with you on the fees because a lot of people feel nickeled and dimed.
That's a big part of it. Part of it is it's not even so much for me because I haven't paid that many resort fees and mm-hmm. things like that because of, you know, comp rooms or whatever. Right. But it's just such a constant thing that you hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hates. So I'm doing this for the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so selfless.
For me, and if I had to choose, I would choose yours. But just in the interests of providing another thing, it would be the sidewalk cleanup project. It would be more of efficiency of movement. Ah. No moseyers, no street performers.
Ah, yes.
Just like anything that impedes people's movement on the sidewalk.
Street performers. Let's talk about that for a second. Is there anything that people won't fucking stop and gawk at on Fremont Street?
Oh, jeez.
My God.
Oh, God, I sounded really Minnesotan there.
Oh, jeez. Jesus, what are you doing with your time? If there's a, I don't know what that accent was. I was like, okay, anyway. To those of you who occasionally will stop and watch the street performers, let me try to make your vacation better. When you go home, when you go home from Las Vegas after a trip, is that street magician going to have, are you going to have any memory of that being a great part of your trip in a month? No, then keep fucking walking. Oh, people are going to enjoy what they're going to enjoy. But these big,
but
every time somebody stops, somebody else stops. A crowd attracts a crowd.
There are certain,
and it's like, yeah. Are these fucking moderately talented, some of them have some skills, but is it really worth a circle of 50 people all the time?
No, no.
Oh, keep moving. It's not that great.
Yeah.
You're encouraging them.
I just want to get where I need to go. And for God's sake,
don't give them any money.
Yeah, especially the...
I'm so cranky.
I know. Yeah, the massive crowds around the people who are doing the three-card money or the painting, the spray painting
shit. Well, spray painting thing, that's a Fremont Street Experience. They own that.
Oh.
That's official. So that's annoying, too. So at Fremont Street Experience, when you pay all that lip service to making everything smoother, get rid of those fucking painters. You're probably making a bunch of money off of them, but still, it's not making the experience good for those of us who want to walk somewhere. Oh, I love it. Okay, finally, after joining yet another cult, wait, what? After joining yet another cult, you take a vow that on your next trip to Vegas, this is timely, you can either drink or gamble, but not both. Your gamble. Choice. You're choosing gambling over drinking?
I am.
Would you have said the same thing if this were asked a month ago?
No.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. I, too, would choose gambling. And I would have a month ago, and I would today. I love that you didn't have to think about that at all.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the questions. Good questions.
A month ago, I would have had a little more of a debate about it.
Mm-hmm. You would have said drinking.
Yeah, probably right.
Okay. Well, we'll check back in shortly before our next trip and see how you're feeling about that.
Yeah.
All right.
I still have concerns.
Our friend Kelly, I know, we're still drying out.
We are.
Weekends are a lot less fun when we're not boozing.
Aw.
It's okay. Our friend Kelly, who is at VIMF, has some questions for us. What band and or songs... Okay, so band. Let's just go band because otherwise it's going to get too specific. What band do you think would make for a great Fremont Street Experience Viva Vision show?
Ooh.
This is a good question because they need some updating. They got to get rid of. We saw one Viva Vision show and we never stop and watch them anymore. But there was one. I don't know what the fuck was going on. It was like they flipped a switch on some filler or something. It wasn't even.
Yes.
There's like people talking. There's no music playing. It was odd. People are waiting for something exciting to happen. There's like a spaceship flying down Fremont Street. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the same night that we ate the pot cookie, was it? Maybe it was us. Although maybe it would have been interesting if we had.
No, it was not the same night.
Okay. So they do update these periodically. The newest one, I think, is Imagine Dragons, which we saw a couple times. The Who is still, I don't know, under 5 years old.
I think. And partly Kelly from Vim because of the awesome thing that she gave me.
Oh, yes.
I would say Bowie or Prince.
I like it. I think they probably did a thing for them just the night they died, but that was like not a full-on spectacle.
They've both got rich catalogs. They're both very visually appealing.
Uh-huh.
I think either would make a fabulous show.
Prince's family's looking to cash in, so they'd be willing to license his music.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm down with that. I don't have a problem with, like if there's a band I like, I don't have... an issue with them being used in that manner, their songs being used in that manner, if it's kind of a cool show.
Well, wouldn't you rather walk around listening to that than Heart?
I would. I haven't heard the Heart show as often, so maybe they cut back on the timing of that one, but for a while it was everywhere. Every time we walked outside, Heart was playing. I think Bon Jovi has one.
Yeah.
They've got
They're Dead to You Now.
American Pie, which lasts like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, good question.
Would you like to talk about your feelings about Bon Jovi?
No. Okay, do you have any hotel decor? Wait, I'm sorry. Do you like any hotel decor enough to duplicate it at home? Mm. We did paint one wall in the room we're sitting in the same color as Barbary Coast rooms years ago.
Oh, yeah, we did.
A dark kind of maroony red thing, and that's what that was based on. But as far as like specific decor?
No,
you don't want to? I can't really think of...
I like having our Vegas room office with little bits and pieces of Vegas stuff.
Memorabilia and Vegas scatterings. But yeah, nothing super exact. I don't know. I guess the only thing I could think of is like if we had... and we have had some super comfortable beds.
Yes.
There have been times where I'm like, I really want to take this bed home with me.
And the pillows.
Yeah. Oh, and the pillows. That's right. So... yeah, but I can't even think of specifics as far as which ones I've liked. I think Hotel 32 had really good pillows.
Yes, Downtown Grand did also.
Aria had, Cosmo had, I liked the bed there. I slept really great.
Wynn has good beds.
Yeah.
Golden Gate bed was very comfy too.
Yeah. So, but as far as other
stuff.
Then
again, I pretty much passed out in it every night. Right. So.
Finally, is there a table game you would like to be better at? I'd like to be better at blackjack.
I would too.
And the reason is, the reason I'm not is I just don't play it enough to, whenever I plan to play it before a trip, I have to practice on a, on an app for a while just to even get, obviously most of the basic strategy I know, but there are certain things.
Splitting hands and any hands with aces. That's what I need to work on.
I know. So that's what I have to do too. And it would just take doing it more often.
Yeah.
Or between trips, even just continuing to use the app instead of just like a week before the trip going, oh shit, I might play blackjack. I need to work on this.
I'd like to be better at craps too.
I feel I know what I'm doing at craps. So that's not like, even though I don't play very often, that one, I know what I'm going, like I do the same thing. So I know what I'm going to do, but blackjack's the one where I'm not as comfortable and I know there's a way to do it correctly. So thank you for that series of questions, Kelly. And finally, our last Dear Tim and Michelle question this week comes from BC, friend of the show, longtime listener, hell of a guy. I had a dream last night where you both invited me to your home. Well, that would never happen. I had a dream last night where you both invited me to your home and were showing me around your garage, twice as big as a normal two-car garage, with large windows all along one wall, by the way.
Definitely a dream.
And in it was an 8-foot-tall tiki head that Tim had welded together from slabs of steel. It was it was set up as a fireplace where the wood went in the tiki's head's mouth and smoke came out the top of his head. My question is, when and where did Tim learn to weld? He never mentioned this ability on the podcast. Funny you should ask that, BC. I actually spent the early part of my professional career as a welder.
As a welding apprentice?
I went through an apprenticeship that lasted 6 years, and then I opened my own welding business. And I, oddly enough, I specialized in tiki heads, and we did build a number of those fireplaces. I don't have one of my own, oddly enough, but so your dream was partially accurate, and I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad I could relive that part of my life. And then, of course, I shifted gears and went into communications work. So thank you all for your questions. If you would like to submit a Dear Tim and Michelle question, we would love to hear from you at 500@gmail.com. You'll hear it on the show maybe in 6 to 9 months. No, we'll get to them sooner, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, what's next on the list? Oh, we have to talk about our friends at Viator.
Hey.
Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. Pause. Okay. I hate to bring this up, but it is the holiday season soon. I know it's still like almost 2 months away, but you got to start thinking about buying gifts because you want to get some people stuff they're going to at least use. You don't want to get them a shitty gift, right?
No, you don't.
Take care of all of your gift giving right now.
Do you have your cards made out yet?
I don't. I have to start working on that.
Yeah.
When was the last time we actually did Christmas cards? You kind of do something.
Randomly do them every year. I don't do an all-out effort, though. It's more of a call and response thing. Oh, you sent me one. I should probably send you
one. That's not an obvious strategy at all to the people who sent them out. Well, if you want to give a gift this year that people will love, give them Viator gift certificates. It's super easy. You don't have to put, you think about, everybody loves to travel. If you have somebody in your life who likes to travel, they like vacations, whether it's to Vegas or elsewhere, don't try to figure out, I think these people would like a zip line tour, and then you find out they're afraid of heights and hate that stuff. Just give them a Viator gift certificate. Let them figure it out themselves. They're going to love it. They're going to have a better vacation, and they're going to remember you when they're doing it. Viator has thousands of tours, activities, attractions, shows, adventures, destinations worldwide. Anywhere that you're going to travel, Viator's got you covered with cool stuff. They have gift certificates and denominations beginning at $25 in multiple currencies, U.S. dollars, Australian dollars, Canadian dollars, New Zealand dollars, British pounds and euros.
Dollars?
They don't have Zappos dollars. I'm sorry. They do not. But I think maybe if you...
Bitcoin?
I don't know if they accept Bitcoin. I should look. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't, I That's a legitimate question now, sadly enough. I don't get the Bitcoin thing. I still think that's bullshit, but some people are into that. So anyway, Viator. I don't think you can give Viator gift certificates in Bitcoin, if that's your question. Okay. Whether you can buy them with Bitcoin.
You can buy them with Bitcoin.
Shit, I don't know. Viator.com is the place to go and find out. Just go. They make it really easy. Go to Viator.com, type gift certificates in the search box. All the info will pop up. You can buy it quick and easy and be done with your holiday shopping. As always, click on the link at 500bymidnight.com. Before you book, before you buy gift certificates, we get extra credit points. Tells Viator that you heard about them from us.
Yay.
We do appreciate it. We thank Viator for their longtime support of this show. And thank you guys for using Viator and supporting our sponsors.
Side note.
Yes.
I think people are sending a lot fewer Christmas cards now. I think they're still doing gifts.
I think you're right.
But I think because people are more in contact on social media, that because that used to be a way to keep in touch with people. And now...
I think the lame Christmas letter is going away. You don't get nearly as many of those.
Oh, my God.
To any of our listeners who send out the family Christmas letter, everybody mocks them. I hope you know that. The people who receive them love receiving them, so continue to do them. But they love receiving them so they can make fun of your family. I think The Onion did a story about... Oh, no, that was about Facebook. About enjoying seeing the back-to-school pictures of your cousin's kids so you can see how much weight they've put on in the past year. Oh. I know it's sad, but it's, you know, there's some truth to that. We're all petty and like to make ourselves feel better by making fun of our family behind their backs,
or sometimes to their face.
Yeah, if you guys have family Christmas letters, send them to our PO box. I would love to get them.
We could do a special.
There's a chance I would use those on Dyslexic Heart or other podcasts and read people's Christmas letters, maybe without names.
Oh yeah,
but we can make fun of
disguise them to protect.
If anybody feels obligated to, if anybody, not even obligated, inspired to send us your family Christmas letter, the P.O. box is on the website under, I think there's a link for
contact
or something. Yeah. And you can send us stuff. And by the way, everybody who's been sending us stuff to our P.O. box, we appreciate it. We've been getting some weird stuff, which is fun. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago, somebody signed up on some website where you choose keywords and then you get like random packages in the mail for free related to those keywords. So we've been getting all these little packages from China that make no sense at all. Mm-hmm. And I got another batch the other day, and there were two wet naps and a little bag of seeds that was labeled as toys. I'm not exactly sure what kind of seeds they were.
What if they're magic beans?
I threw them away. I got there was an iPhone case for a type of iPhone I don't have. And then there was a little electronics part that looked like it might have been a part of a microphone or something. Huh. It's weird, but I enjoyed it. I was like, this is entertaining. I look forward to seeing what it is. So anyway, and then we've gotten some other stuff, some actual like postcards and stuff. So thank you for people who've been sending us stuff at the P.O. Mm-hmm. box. Okay. Bunch of phone calls from the last several weeks. A lot of these are pre and during VIMP and some post VIMP, which are helpful as well. So here you go. Let's start with this one.
Diamonds are forever. Forever, at least until December. I don't fucking know when at some point the diamond status will end. But here we are in Vegas. We're staying at the Paris. We're here for VIMSP and having a great time.
Vegas is my favorite place.
We're having some drinks. We've just sat at the bar for about, 4 hours?
At least,
and blew a shit ton of money, and won not a goddamn thing. But that's okay, because they got us drunk.
We won a lot of drinks.
So apparently, at the Gustav's Bar at the Paris, as long as you're playing, the drinks keep coming, and there's no ticket system. So, you know, we just kept playing.
And Mama got a massage.
I can't believe they allow massages like that, because it distracts you from your playing.
There was some drool occurring.
We had to wipe the drool off the bar.
It was that good.
I don't know. I didn't do the massage because I couldn't stop playing. But anyway, we're now going to head down to the pool. Catch a few late afternoon Vegas Rays and have some drinks, probably, I hope.
This is at Gay Paris. Montreuil.
But you don't have to be gay to be here. It's just a little bit fun if you are. But
that's French.
Well, hey, madame.
Enchanté, fromage. Merci beaucoup. Après.
So, again, we are the debutants of debauchery, and we shall keep the legend going, and we'll see you all later tonight at
whatever thing we're going to.
Well, we're pathetically our names because we've been to one event of them, even though we're here for this.
Well, we had good intentions, but then Vegas happened.
So. Road to Vegas is paid with good intentions.
Not really. The worst of intentions. But we'll be down there tonight doing whatever with all y'all, so we'll see you soon.
Indeed we will. Michelle, you look amazing. I love your shoes and your toe polish and your outfits. You look phenomenal. And Tim,
yes.
Nobody wears assless craps like...
I don't think they're craps. They're called chaps.
Assless chaps like you do. All chaps are assless.
All craps are assless.
Wow.
At least in my bathroom they are.
Amen to that. Okay, well, I think we might be a little tipsy.
No.
As usual.
We're going to head down to the Diamond Lounge and score some free drinks at a carrot stick, dry carrot sticks, and then we're going to go to the pool. So, signing off for now. We'll see you later.
AMS, yo-yo.
Hiya.
Oops. Okay. The debutantes of drunkenness, our good friends.
Mm-hmm. Debauchery.
Yeah, I know.
And drunkenness.
And drunkenness on this show, on this call. Oh, assless craps. That's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like crapless craps, the game that they have at Stratosphere?
I don't know.
No. Okay. Thank you for that call. That was amusing. There's a lot of drunk dials in this. It's the VIMF time. So
mm-hmm.
You're going to hear a lot of drunk dials. If you don't like them, sorry, but we do. They're fun. Speaking of drunk dials, check in with Joe Crow.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. That's Joe Crow from Motown. And it's 3:40 in the morning, and I'm almost dead, but that's okay. I've had an amazing fucking night. I just want to tell all the wonderful people at VIMF, thank you. Thank you, every one of you, for the love. I hope you hear this. And I love you all. All right. Bye-bye.
I love that call so much.
It was wonderful.
I'm so glad you didn't dial the voicemail line while I was at my worst / best.
There were suggestions that we should have recorded that whole thing so that we could have relived it, which I don't know that either of us wanted to, but, you know,
uh-huh.
There was some amusement by people who were along over how I responded to your... drunkenness.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you were like I said. You've been well. You'll hear more later. We'll wait. We'll wait
all
to
right.
talk about that. The incident. We need
the
to maybe
incident.
Just from now on just call it the incident.
Yes.
All right. Let's get a review of a place that we visited during a trip earlier this year and see what this gentleman thinks.
Tim, hi Michelle. It's Craig from Edinburgh. My wife tells me I called in last week after. Several hours at Oak and Ivy. It's not something I remember, but so this would be my second call.
Awesome.
It's just a quick one, just a quick point to note. We went last night to Beauty in Essex based on recommendations from the podcast, and it was phenomenal.
Good.
We sat at the bar. We allowed the barman to pick our entire meal. We went with a number of appetizers, no mains, but with a couple of desserts, and let him pick the cocktails as well. It was, without a doubt, the best Vegas experience we've had as far as food is concerned. The cheese and bacon dumplings in the tomato soup were outrageous. The short rib mac and cheese was immense, and the crumble they put on top was phenomenal. So if anyone's going to BK in Essex, we don't generally sit at the bar, never really having done it before, but it was the only way to get in. It was absolutely phenomenal. This is it's not a drunk dial, it's a semi-buzzed, moderately intoxicated dial, but I'll call back with a sober with a full trip report later. Love what you guys do. Keep it up. Unfortunately, I'm missing Vince, but hopefully see you one day there. Cheers, bye.
All right, thanks
for
the call. I'm glad to hear you had a good experience because we've been hearing some mixed reviews on Beauty in Essex.
Yes.
We had a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends of ours were there during VIMF and did not have a great experience. They had service snobbery.
Yeah.
So
the server was put out that they wanted to order more food.
I know. So disappointing to hear that and hope that's not a trend. So
yeah. Maybe we'll have to go back in the name of science.
We might have to. I'm like, see, when I start hearing from friends that they've had bad experiences, then I'm like less inclined. But we had such good food and such a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see. Okay.
Those French onion dumplings, man.
I know. So tasty. All right. Next up.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. This is Meredith from Colorado Springs, and I'm just now getting around to my lymph report, and I think I'm actually probably still recovering from it, to be honest. I know everybody's covered a lot of the events, and so just wanted to talk more about what we got to do. This was the first time my husband and I were able to attend, and my brother actually came with us. We had some family out there and had some family stuff going on, so that was nice that he was able to travel with us. Got in early on Friday because of a horrible, horrible airline. Went to DuPar's for breakfast. That was fantastic. All pancakes should be smothered in melted butter from this point forward. And we also stayed at Golden Gate, and the rooms are absolutely beautiful. Loved it. We got an off Fremont Street room, so that was nice. The wind, however, was really pretty bad, so there was a couple times during the night where the wind woke us up. The only thing about the Golden Gate room, and this was just specific to our situation, is the open shower makes it a little interesting when you're traveling with your siblings. So we would have to kick people out to take a shower, but they went down to the bar and didn't mind.
Must have had one of the Golden Gate suites like we did, I'm assuming, because they've got the shower kind of. There is a giant curtain that wraps around that whole area.
Yeah.
So what? You look like you have a thought.
The standard rooms have an open shower situation as well.
Yeah, but bathroom door closes.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
That's a different deal.
Yeah. I don't know if she'd be as glowing about the room because the standard rooms are tiny.
They are tiny. You wouldn't be able to have more than two people. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, continuing on.
Yep.
The parade was a blast. I will forever cherish my foam middle finger, and my kids even got a hold of them when I unpacked and came home, much to the concern of some of the neighbors. We also went to Oscars at Plaza, and that was a really fun dining experience. A beautiful steakhouse. It was especially nice to see once all the lights on Fremont started to come on at the hotel. That was just a really neat view. The music was fantastic. You know, my favorite kind of Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra just played the entire time. The banquets are gorgeous. Service was fantastic. The only thing I would not recommend were sides, because everything is a la carte. They had sweet potato wedges with a jalapeno honey butter. Not a big fan, just too sweet. And they were huge, huge chunks of potatoes. So not a big fan of those. And their Brussels sprouts weren't prepared quite how they had sold them. So I was not terribly thrilled with those, but otherwise the meal was incredible. I had crab stuffed jumbo prawns. My husband had a massive ribeye, and you didn't even need a knife to cut it. So the other thing we learned is that the former mayor, Oscar Goodman, does come in once a month and hosts a 3-course dinner where he will tell stories. And I'm assuming, you know, the statute of limitations has passed for some of these stories that he could tell. So if I can ever swing it to be in town when one of those is happening, I definitely want to check that out. The Sublime concert was phenomenal. Had a blast there. I really liked how they put the VIP access on either side of the stage and gave you options to access bars and seating and everything. So that was a lot of fun. We did crash out pretty early that night because we'd been awake since 3 o'clock in the morning. Saturday morning, we took my brother over to Mon Ami Gabi. We actually went there Saturday and Sunday, and I've never had a bad meal there, and everybody pretty much knows that. We got to meet some of my family out at Red Rock, and we went to a barbecue joint out there called Lucille's. And those are actually some of the best burnt ends I've had. And my husband and I love to smoke meat pretty much every weekend. And they were just perfectly tender, not too smoky. Absolutely loved it. Back at Golden Gate, I did not see the plaque that they have on Bar Prohibition down there that says Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Dean Martin drink here. Make your own history at Bar Prohibition. So that made me a little bit giddy. That was really, really neat to see because I'm a huge Rat Pack fan. And just like everybody said, the podcast and Dark Bar were just so much fun. I'm so glad I got to be a part of that. There were an inordinate number of men on the stripper poles at Dark Bar, but hey, it was, you know, go nuts, do your thing. It was so much fun. On Sunday, I need to thank everybody who supported me on the Facebook page during our 12-hour delay to get home. We learned a lot about Concourse D, especially that pretty much only 4 total outlets work there for charging phones. And when you're stuck there for 12 hours, you're fighting with a lot of people for charging space. So that was a bit of a bummer, but got home safe and sound 4 o'clock Monday morning. So we were pretty much wrecked from vimps and our delay. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who put this on, all of the hard work. It was so great to finally see people and meet people and put, you know, faces to voices and social media accounts. And it was just so much fun to finally get to connect with something that I've watched from afar for so many years. So we are already trying to make plans for our next trip. My liver sort of twitches every time I talk about vimps. So I'm going to have to give it a little bit of a break, I think. But again, thank you so much, everybody. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
All right.
Great to see you.
Lovely to see you. Glad you were able to make it. Any thoughts? We haven't been to Oscars in a long time.
No, we haven't.
Might have to go up there again for drinks sometime.
Yeah.
If we're drinking again by our next trip.
I was thinking, you know how in your book, you talk about the Fogo de Chao thing where...
The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas, available at lasvegasoutsidersbook.com.
Yeah, that book.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got, for the flair bartending, you've got the green if you want the flair or the red if you don't.
These are my theory. That's my million dollar idea nobody has taken me up on, yes.
Right. I think I should start carrying one of those with me where green if it's okay for me to have another drink and red if I need to not be served.
Who's responsible for the...
That would be you.
But I would have failed this trip. Because you have that. It's your voice. It's the pitch of your voice. And I missed it. If I had noticed, I would have cut you off. It was. Uh-huh. I'm taking partial responsibility for your condition.
You shouldn't.
I am.
I take sole responsibility for my condition.
Clearly, I'm an enabler. But I'm taking some... I see it as my responsibility to... Not just in Vegas, not under drinking conditions, but I see it as my husbandly duties to protect you as best I can.
Aw.
And I feel like I failed you at that time. So.
You didn't.
So that's all. Okay. Thank you for the call, Meredith. Appreciate it. Glad to see you. It was wonderful seeing you. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Charles from Wisconsin. I had a great time at VIMF and enjoyed your show and all the shows that went on. Just want to call in. I ran into a couple of skill-based slots over at Golden Nugget. There were two of them. One of them was pretty good, and one was kind of lame. The good one, actually, let me start with the lame one. The lame one was a racing thing called something like Ace the Racer. And the skill-based bonus I got consisted of me tapping a button as fast as I could to try to make him go fast. And it was kind of lame. I still got a $700 bonus or 700 credit bonus. I wish it was dollars. That would make things better, but it was a penny slot. Then the other one that I really liked was the centipede slot. And that you play until you get a bonus. And then you play a game of centipede, the old Atari classic. And since I grew up playing that obsessively, I hit the maximum bonus for over 1300. So, and I'm pretty sure I could easily do that on a regular basis if the, you know, the credits come in, you know, the bonuses, and I don't get too many bonus motherfuckers. But that's the main thing that I saw that was new and I thought it'd be interesting. So thanks a lot. Thanks for the show. Had fun. Looking forward to next year. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the report. Yeah, we haven't, I think those are just starting to hit the floor. We haven't had a lot of reports on the skill-based slot machines.
The centipede one sounds intriguing.
Anything that's an Atari throwback, I'd give a shot to, I think.
Oh, if they ever do...
Missile Command.
If they ever do a Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man,
I think that we would probably spend too much time there. Mm-hmm. I'd play, definitely. All righty, next up.
Hey, everybody, this is Victor from LA again. Beauty and Essex, that was the name of it. Couldn't remember, now I do. I made my reservation.
I think that was a reference to another call of his that I don't even remember if I used.
On the MLife website. I wanted to tell people about this. I did it through my MLife account and got a special rate, comped a couple of nights. In this case, it was a Luxor. When I got there, the reservation was completely different. The rate was different. And I got the sense from the agents that they're having a lot of trouble getting the rates from the website downloaded into the reservation system when you show up at the hotel. I haven't had that trouble at Aria at other places. But at this place, it seems like maybe that's the situation. So make sure you bring your documentation, bring your confirmation number. They will fix it. If you have that information, it makes it a lot easier, but you got to make sure that you bring it with you. The guy next to me in line was having a similar argument, but he had nothing with him, and they were giving him a hard time. So make sure you bring it with you. Okay. Great seeing everybody at Vint.
Okay, solid advice. Thank you for that, because we've heard there have been a lot of reports about M Life, and its website is always screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
The reservation stuff. I haven't. This is the first I've heard this, where their reservation stuff isn't properly getting into the system.
Awesome. Well,
half the time, it seems like lately the reservations page is offline, so you can't even book. But good advice. Make sure, and I would say I do this regardless of where we're staying or whether it's on, you know, through mm-hmm. M Life or whatever. But I always print up a copy of the confirmation just because I'm so paranoid about that.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to show them that it was booked at a certain rate or whatever. So great advice. Thank you for that. Glad they got it sorted out. All right. Back to our friends, the debutantes de debauchery.
Dude, I think I got Bengay on my hoo-ha. Fucking burning. And guess where I found my fucking glasses from last night? In the refrigerator with the leftovers.
That makes sense.
Huh?
No, you need to go eat some dinner.
Dude, whose leftovers were those?
Those were yours.
That was it.
That was it.
I don't know if that was a butt dial and we just got in the middle of there. I don't know what happened there, but we learned a lot about them. Love Melanie and Trisha. They're the best.
Yes.
All right. Next up.
Hey, Tim, Michelle, Steve, and Rachel from Northwest Indiana. Calling with a downtown trip report. I'm standing underneath the plaza, Portiche, or whatever that is called. This is our new favorite low-rolling place now, we've decided. It has taken the place of Ellis Island as our favorite low-rolling place. The place is pretty good, actually, but that'll be coming up in just a second in the trip report. So first things first, we're taking the shortest trip we've ever taken to Vegas, me and my wife, 3 days only, which is really quick. We've been doing pretty much a week nowadays. So we decided we could stay the whole time downtown. First time we've done that. So we're staying at the D, of course. So first things first, we first got in and put $10 in a Wheel of Fortune quarter machine. And first Wheel of Fortune spin, my wife hit 1,000 quarters.
Yeah.
So that does happen.
Nice.
And next day we moved on to the plaza and signed up for the slot club, which was really sweet. They had a deal. You can lose up to $500 and they will reimburse you $250 free play the next night and then $250 free play the following day after that. So you get a chance to get all of your money back in free play, which is a sweet for new first-time signups. But during my free play event, you're trying to lose that much money. I ended up playing a dollar Wheel of Fortune machine and hit 1,000 spin myself, so I quit. So I didn't try to lose it all back. And my wife, she did collect the free play, and we're going to be working on that right now. Another thing about the plaza is they got 3-2 blackjack, $5 tables, a cool pit up in front that plays good music. So the whole thing was real fun. But while we were playing that, we met some 500 super fans, Heather and Steven from Tulsa. We actually met them two different nights. The first night we had fun with them. We ran to them the second night and we started talking about things to do. And we were talking about restaurants off of the Fremont. And I said, you listen to Podcast 500 by Midnight? And he's like, I do. And they went nuts because we could just tell they had way too much knowledge to not listen to 500. So once we found that, we're now bonded for life, which is pretty cool. So we hung out with them for a few nights. That was a lot of fun. This weekend, downtown, the Gay Pride Parade was rolling through. So we saw a little bit of that. That was interesting. The vibe down here is always crazy and fun. Then we went to two different restaurants that you guys have talked about. We went to Nacho Daddy, had some fajitas. It's awesome. And we went to Itsy Bitsy with Ramen and Whiskey. We had a Groupon for, which was, it was good. I'm not, like, I don't understand the whole ramen thing, but they had some really good tempura shrimp. I had that. That was awesome. So basically, that is our trip report. We're on our final day. Very sad. We're loving downtown the whole time. One more thing that reminds me. We did Uber for the first time. We've never used Uber before. We did it right from the airport to downtown. We got the free first ride up to $20. So we were able to get downtown free. Just a little tip for the driver. And then my wife is signing up for Uber on the way back, and that'll be free too. So first time without a car, first time not seeing the strip. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of awesome. So, all right, thanks for everything you do, guys, and talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks for the report. Appreciate that. I appreciate that you referred to them as vagitas, because I like to do that too, because it sounds dirty. Would you like to hear what it's like when two 500 couples meet?
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
500! It's Heather.
Steven!
And Heather from Tulsa.
Guess who we met? Some fellow Fundy. Yeah,
Fundy.
Oh, wait, oh, is that right? Wait.
That's
I gotta read you. Oh, yeah. You know what? Hang on.
Five Fundies.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, my
gosh.
Oh, yeah, it's so awesome. Their name is Rhonda and Steven. Oh, and it's so awesome.
It's Rachel.
Rachel.
Or am I
being
Rhonda and Beth? Anyway, we so love you, and we're so sorry that we missed them, but we are so happy.
We
are so happy. Chaos. We are so It's awesomeness.
But you keep interrupting me. We are so happy we met.
Didn't I do that? I know, yeah.
Okay, we love you. Goodbye.
They're having their own mini vimp there.
I was just going to say.
That's the chaos that we had ourselves. Mm-hmm. Glad you're having a good time.
Yeah.
We've met Steven and Heather. They're wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll run into them again. And maybe Steven and Rachel will be around too. We can all have too many drinks together. It'd be a good time. All right. Thank you so much for your call and your drunken nonsense. Let's check in again. Let's see if Joe has sobered up at all.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Joe Crow from Motown.
I think he has.
Pulling into Las Vegas, heading to the airport to go home, calling with a couple recap items from the trip, a few things to share. First of all, we'll start with the one low light of the trip. That would be Magnolia's. Boo! Fucking boo! Slow service. Took us forever to get out of there. Food was decent, but man, service took forever to get out of that place. So, gotta do better, Magnolia's, on that. Additionally, Big thumbs up to Carson Kitchen. Not that you didn't already know about that place, but oh my God. Gyro tacos and beet salad and veal meatballs and just everything looking and smelling wonderful. And what was that thing you had? Donut bread pudding. Oh my Lord, just absolutely wonderful. So yeah, big thumbs up for Carson Kitchen. Big thumbs up, obviously, for Pizza Rock and their heavenly meatballs. Had an awesome time at the Chandelier Lounge, having the Verbena, which is available on level one if level one and a half happens to be closed. So good times all around. Good times all around. And obviously, Vimp completely destroyed my liver, but that's okay. I fought back, and I think everybody knows what a good time I fucking had. So, anyway, you guys take care. It was great seeing you, and hope you guys made it back okay. Hope everybody made it back okay. Lots of love to all the 500 peeps. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks again. Glad you had a good time.
Yes.
We haven't been to Carson Kitchen in a long time.
No, I was just thinking that.
Might have to make a return one of these.
Oh, absolutely.
One of these trips. They have some great food over there.
Yeah. We had a free entree at Magnolia's, and we were just like, no, we're good.
That's the Four Queens coffee shop. And, you know, every time we've thought about going there, there's been a line. And
yeah,
then,
and
it
just
seems kind
seem
of
worth
mediocre.
It. Yeah.
So, just based on things we've read and viewed, just the feel of the place. I don't know.
I just feel like I'm going to be disappointed here.
Yeah. It kind of feels that way before you even go in.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Charles from Wisconsin. Just want to give a little review of the Gordon Ramsay fish and chips, which I did on Monday after VIMF. Stopped in. There was a short wait. It was less than 10 minutes. It was a nice, expectable wait. I had the fish and chips. Here's the pro tip. Do not order the artisanal ketchup. Order the tartar sauce and one of the other sauces for the fish. And there's the...
Wait a minute. Artisanal ketchup?
It took you that long to pause it?
What do you think it takes for them? I'm guessing Heinz with a little bit of vinegar mixed in or something. A little additional vinegar or something. It's fucking artisanal. Oh my God. artisanal ketchup. It's probably like the sweet pickles of ketchup, where it has some completely fucked up flavor that nobody really wants. Obviously, he's saying don't order it, so I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, artisanal. I think I need to start keeping a list of words that are just
farm like, to table, artisanal,
yeah.
Man bun.
Man bun. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
The typical pump thing for ketchup for your chips. It's regular Heinz. I liked the fish and chips, but I didn't love it. The batter was described as a custard batter, and that means it's really, really sweet. Imagine kind of fish dipped in a pancake batter. It was tasty, but it was just a little too sweet for me. I mean, I ended up kind of pulling the fish out of the batter because I wanted, you know, more of a savory taste. But, you know, I think it was a really good deal. I mean, I got the fish and chips and a bottle of Guinness for under $20 out the door, and it was tasty. It was properly cooked. The chips, which are really just French fries, were tasty with a nice kind of batter, you know, with some salt to them. So I would say it's a place to stop by, but not necessarily a destination. Hey, thanks for the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for the report.
We meant to stop by there. We didn't.
That was on my list. I was going to go there after Egg Slut, but I did just, or after the beer park. And mm-hmm. I just, well, first of all, I think by the time I left beer park, oh no, I was over there. I was just walking up to the link when you texted me that you were done
mm-hmm.
or I just walked in and I think I wasn't hungry enough to have any more food.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you were thirsty enough to have a lot more drinks.
So I went to Catalyst Bar and started playing and having some. Are you commenting on my alcohol consumption that day?
Oh, no.
I'm just sensing a little bit of, are you looking down on me?
Oh, no, I'm not looking down at you at all. I was amused.
Okay. I was going to say that would be
because I got out of my hair appointment. I'm like, hey, Tim's hammered.
I was pretty hammered. Okay.
But you could walk back to the room on your own accord.
That's true. I could. I think I'm going to shuffle the order of these around slightly. Let's check in with Meredith again.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. Meredith, one more quick time. I apologize.
No apology
first,
needed.
I wanted to thank Tim for signing his copy of my book.
You're welcome.
Tim, you told me you weren't going to remember it, so I don't know whether or not you remember it, but thank you for doing it nonetheless. And the other fun thing was experiencing Vince for the first time. First of all, with my brother, because he literally had no clue what the hell was going on, but he was completely for it. But the looks of the people on Fremont Street while we were doing the parade and the people at the D while the World Series of Satin Casino Jackets was happening, there was a spectrum of feelings, everything from annoyed to curious to downright pissed off. I had one lady who I attempted to explain what was happening, and she was convinced we were part of the mafia. So, you know, it was kind of fun to interact with people who didn't know what we were doing and were either, you know, curious or just irritated. A lot of them had probably a lot of booze in their system, as it seems many of us did. But anyway, that was kind of fun to experience Vegas that way. So thanks again, guys, and looking forward to the next trip. Bye.
All right. Yeah, I love that. During the Satin Casino Jacket, I'm not necessarily paying as much attention to the people in the casino,
mm-hmm.
at least while I'm doing the walk on my
work.
Own.
Yeah.
But during the parade from Golden Gate to the D, certainly, you see a lot of odd looks from people. And I think some people might have thought it was a political rally of some sort. I don't know. But we had a huge crowd for that this year.
Yeah.
Bigger than ever before. So that was fun parading down Fremont and seeing all the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up.
Podcasting's Tim and Michelle. This is Drinking and Gambling, Eric and Lori from Indianapolis. Lori, say hi.
Hello.
Hello.
We We are a long bar, and we are drinking all of the alcohol. And we came to the D yesterday and won a lot of money. And it was so charitable of them to give it to us, so we decided to return the favor by coming back today and giving it all back. I'm the guy you mentioned on the podcast a couple of times who's listened to the podcast from the beginning. And it's been awesome. And we are having a wonderful time in Las Vegas. And I don't remember anything that we've done, which is why I've been posting a running trip report to Facebook. So hopefully it was all good. I'll go back and read it after the fact to find out what we did. But we love the podcast, and we hope to come to VIMP next year. And Lori just hit four of a kind. So we're having an awesome time in Vegas. Bye.
All right. Glad you're having fun. I've been enjoying your updates on Facebook as well. Thank you for that. All right. Are you ready to relive? You ready to have some memories that you don't have come back?
Maybe.
Okay, final call of the week. Some insight into what happened after you left the stage at the main event.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. This is Mara, a.k.a. OU Piglet. I was just listening to the last podcast, and as I'm driving through South Georgia, North Florida for my job, reliving Vimpy goodness, so thank you for that. Thanks for everything for the weekend. It was a wonderful time, as always. I have a couple of wonderful memories from the weekend, but my favorite is probably one that Michelle doesn't remember. Meredith was the one who had assisted her off the stage and into the restroom during the main event.
Thank you, Meredith.
I went to go check on them and make sure everything was okay and to take Meredith her phone and her belongings. And Michelle was waiting for the security to come and assist her for her grand exit. Mm-hmm. And she stood up and looked at me and looked at Meredith and said, Mara, Meredith, you're such good friends. I love you. It was a very touching moment. Honestly, I was shocked she knew who we were in her state. But very impressive recovery. And all in all, I think a great time was had by all. I know I had a great time, had a wonderful time meeting people I've never met before and hanging out, looking forward to doing it again next year. I wasn't super sad leaving Vegas because I have another trip booked for Thanksgiving week, and hopefully I'll do a little more winning on that trip as well. Hope all is well in your household. Much love to you all, and in memory of Zoe, my boys Marty and Dioji got extra treats the other night.
Aww.
And we will remember her forever.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, and thank you for your assistance in my hour of need.
My only retroactive request, if I could have had one, would be Mara travels with a bunch of stuffed monkeys for some reason. I'm not sure why. She always has them with her, and she poses them with people take their picture with them and stuff.
You would have had a drunken picture of me with the monkeys.
A picture of you in the bathroom with the monkeys would have been fucking fantastic. That would have been the greatest thing.
Yes.
So thank you for looking after my wife in the ladies' room. I appreciate it. You guys are the best.
Yes.
All right. Oh, Vimp.
Yes.
Before we go, a listener purchase.
My lover's twitching right now.
A listener purchase of the week. Thank you to everybody who's been using our Amazon link. As always, this episode's purchase of the week is the Pretty Woman 50th Anniversary Edition. 15th.
Oh.
15th Anniversary Edition. Of course, you're familiar with the movie Pretty Woman.
Oh, I am.
Which ushered in the era of popularity of prostitution in the United States. That's an odd movie to me, that it was that popular and it was about being a whore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
But they sugarcoated it.
I know. They made it look so glamorous.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know.
I remember one of my English professors was angry about it. Like,
I kind of get that.
This movie's about a prostitute.
I know. They made it look so much fun.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, please use the link at 500bymidnight.com. Click on that before you add things to your Amazon cart. We get a cut of your purchase without you having to spend any additional money. It's a real easy way to support the podcast, and we do appreciate that, especially as we approach the holidays. You're probably buying a bunch of stuff on Amazon, so please use that link. All right, 500bymidnight.com is the website where you will find that link and other stuff. 500gmail.com is where you can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions if you'd like. You look like you have something else you'd like to say before we go.
Apparently, I'm an I love you drunk.
Yes, we had people who encountered you during that state where they were very impressed with the manner in which you were drunk. You were one of the friendliest, most well-behaved, most courteous drunk girls ever. So at least you're not an asshole when you're drunk. On Twitter, I'm 500. She's Anita Martini.
You can thinking about changing my username.
To what?
I don't know.
I know. I no longer need a martini. yeah. 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you. Call in your reviews, reports, drunk or otherwise. We love them all. Mm-hmm. Thanks, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And I'm assuming, assuming we have things, more things to talk about, we'll be back in just a couple days with another podcast for you, our beloved listeners. So we'll talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.